This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're right back to WEEI.
Sox infield player Alex Bregman at his introductory presser on Sunday from Fort Myers just a day ago when the vibes were immaculate. Red Sox Nation was frothing. We were going back to the playoffs. Alex Bregman was the linchpin to the offseason. That's exactly what the Sox needed. They got their guy. Alex Cora was happy. The players were happy. Sam Kennedy was happy. John Henry was using $1,000 bills to light $10,000 cigars and put them on Instagram. The old Pizzuti special. My God, boys, everything was perfect. And then a simple exchange of words and a couple of questions asked to Rafael Devers, like today, where he was asked about how he feels about going to DH. And he said, I quote, gave them the answer I just gave you. No. And then he didn't even shoot down or rule out the possibility of getting traded because he's that adamant about playing third base. Well, it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was enjoying our long weekend, our holiday weekend of celebrations and just, I think, exhales more than anything else. Finally, we've got our guy for some people, or a guy. We've got a guy that's won before. And that's... That was great. And I've seen a lot of this is going to blow over. Don't worry about the Devers conversation on social. That's the other half of the I'm pissed off at Devers is the this is going to blow over. Why is everybody making a big deal of this? This isn't an imminent, you know, something's not on fire right now. But this was the first time that I think maybe we smelled a little smoke around this situation, if that makes sense. Because before now, it's just been fan conversations. Well, what are they going to do? But it's more of just the fun kind of, you know, bar conversation. Now this is a player giving us a little bit to talk about, and that's something that makes me a little nervous.
And it's interesting, too. He brought up, like, oh, I've said this to the organization, right? It's not like he's just saying it in the press conference or it's just reported. He's like, no, I've said it to the organization. So I found that piece of it interesting as well. And like we said before, like, on one hand, I can understand him being frustrated and as a competitive guy, not wanting to move off third base. Like, I get that. But at the same time, you might have to, and you might have to get over it. And he just seems really adamant that he's not going to do that. And at some point, this is going to come to a head because either he's going to move off it and it's going to be fine, or they're going to have a really awkward situation potentially in mid to late March.
So if he went to the organization and said as much, like, hey, guys, I really want to play third base next year. I plan on being your starting third baseman for the duration of this giant contract extension I signed. This is what Heim Bloom promised me. This is what the organization guaranteed me before I put pen to paper. And they were still willing to bring in Bregman to play second or to play third and to press Raffy into improving his defense or to supplant him because of all of his miscues the last couple of years at third. What does that say to you about what the organization thinks about Devers?
And I wonder, does it have a lot to do with what they think of Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony even more than Devers? But yeah, I think it's a good point. Like, do they look at Devers as an elite all-time hitter, but not as complete a baseball player as they want?
You know, and if he were, like, let's say he were to come around on this. Let's say the best case scenario of, don't worry, it's all going to blow over, were to take place. Is no one able to, you think anyone's able to get through to him that switching to DH, like that whole, the big poppy proposition that we brought up earlier? And you think there, maybe someone will be able to get through to him on that front. Let's find out. But right now, actually, we are pleased to be joined on the line by the Athletics Red Sox beat reporter. She's been kind enough to join the program previously. You can give her a follow on the socials at JC McCaffrey. Miss Jen McCaffrey joins Fitzy, Ball, and Lyons here on a WEEI afternoon. Good afternoon, Jen. Thanks for the time. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are, well, we had a whole entire different show planned out today with some Patriots, some Celtics, some Bruins, talking Four Nations. And then about an hour before the show today, the Rafael Devers bomb drops, if you will, proverbially speaking, from that little presser where he said through his interpreter and then on his own, that he's not going anywhere. He doesn't want to move off of third base and didn't even rule the possibility in the immediate of a trade out of town out. So has there been any immediate fallout that you could gauge so far? I know it's only been a few hours, Jen, but any immediate fallout from Devers' comments?
I wouldn't say immediate fallout. I do think, you know, Alex Cora has known Rafael Devers for, since November 2017. I think he knew that this was going to ruffle Devers' feathers. But the team has to make decisions based on how well players are performing. And if, you know, Devers doesn't like it, they're going to have to figure something out. I think there is a path to kind of talking Devers into a DH role at some point. The other part of this that I think got a little bit lost in the mix is Devers, you know, ended the season last year on the IL with shoulder soreness and didn't really have much of a chance to ramp up his program, his throwing program over the winter. So part of me wonders if he's even going to be ready for the start of the season. Cora talked today about him starting to throw sometime next week, but he's not going to be doing anything really in the field or swinging too heavily over the course of this week. So Devers talked a little bit about that and said that, he's a veteran player and he knows what it takes to get ready. But I think that's also something that's sort of lost in the mix with sort of the surprise of him being so adamant about not moving off third base. So I would say that, yes, it was his definitiveness and his forthrightness in saying that he's not going to DH and that he's a third baseman and he was frustrated by the whole process was surprising, but he's a prideful player. I think we've all kind of known this for a while, that he takes a lot of pride in being able to post routinely, and I think everyone views him as this premier top-of-the-line hitter, and he is, obviously. But he views himself too as a third baseman, and there's going to have to, you know, professional athletes obviously have egos for a reason because they're the best at what they do. But obviously sometimes it takes a little bit of a conversation when they're at a certain point in their career to pivot towards a different path. And you guys are mentioning David Ortiz, and that's something he had to do in his career. I asked Cora today about, is this something that, Devers and Ortiz are close, and, you know, is this something that you might ask Ortiz to talk to him about? And Cora was pretty adamant and said, you know, this is my team. No, I have a good relationship with Devers, and we're going to figure this out. There's bumps in the road all the time, and, you know, this is something I can handle. So we'll see if that changes. But it's definitely a different tone, I guess, in mood among the team and kind of around the team today versus yesterday when it was all smiles and, you know, excitement with the Bregman signing. Today's a little consternation and, you know, confusion about what's going to be happening with the future of potentially unhappy Rafael Devers.
Yeah, Jen, could you expand on that just for just a moment on the feeling, the vibe, the mood around the Red Sox that you've noticed in the wake of the Bregman signing? Have you seen guys going out of their way to introduce themselves and kind of what's the impact of adding a player and a person of that caliber to the mix been on the feeling around Red Sox camp?
Yeah, I mean, since the news broke last week, I feel like there's a lightness among the guys. Trevor Story was, you know, almost giddy in a sense. Walker Buehler is close friends with them, owns a racehorse with them, actually, in Kentucky. There's a lot of connections with Bregman, and not even among the veteran players, but the young stars, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Bregman's locker is right next to them in the clubhouse. And, you know, Cora was saying on the first day out in the backfield yesterday, Bregman was already trying to give Campbell some tips on, you know, just footwork and whatnot at second base. So he's known as a leadership type guy. He's taken, I think, thanks to that very quickly. And I've seen him talking at various points over the last few days with those guys, with Campbell, with Meyer, with Anthony. And just sort of kind of enmeshing himself in the team already, following Story around a lot, just because they know each other as well. Story was a big part of, you know, the recruiting pitch to get Bregman here. He said he, you know, sent him several texts over the winter of just encouraging him to sign in Boston and kind of telling him what it's like. And obviously Bregman knows from having played on the other side, but I think he said it was kind of impactful to just kind of hear from guys like that of wanting him in here. So, yeah, until today, you know, it was definitely a different mood a lot among this team on, you know, a very, I would say, yeah, excited and optimistic mood. And I wouldn't say that's completely gone. It's just it definitely was a little bit uncomfortable, you know, with what Devers said today, and just having a guy of that caliber be so vocal about basically saying he's not going to do what the team wants him to do. So we'll see what effect that has on them.
We're talking with Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic. And Jen, I feel like a big piece of this Devers, Bregman, third base situation is Christian Campbell. And if he's going to be ready opening day to be able to play second base, what is your assessment? I know it's early in camp so far, of his progress to this point. Do you think he's on track to be on that opening day, Ross? Do you think the organization is kind of hoping for him to be in that role to start the season?
I do think so. I mean, you know, before Bregman signed, you know, if even thinking back to this time last week, last Monday, you know, the biggest storyline heading into camp was who's going to win the second base job, Campbell or Vaughn Grissom. Grissom came into camp, you know, looking good, looking a lot stronger than he did, you know, at the end of last year when he was sick and kind of worn down and lost a lot of weight. He looks more of the part and looks a lot stronger. So I think it really was going to be this competition between Grissom and Campbell, and I think it still is because they sound like they're going to be moving Bregman to third base. So I do think a big part of that is seeing if Campbell can kind of take the reins here and break camp with the big league club and, you know, kind of continue the rapid progression that he showed he was capable of last year when he, you know, introduced those swing changes that the team worked on with, and he jumped three levels and, you know, was Baseball America's minor league player of the year and, you know, is a top 10 prospect for a lot of rankings right there alongside Roman Anthony. So, yes, I think they're very optimistic about how he's going to handle things, but I think they're also realistic of he's a young guy, and you kind of have to see how he's going to play, you know, against major leaguers. This is first big league camp, you know, see how he's going to carry himself. But I do think he's been in kind of all the big league, you know, infield drills. He's, as I said, you know, with Bregman here, he's been kind of Bregman's shadow almost the past few days of getting some instruction and tidbits. And Cora, a few times I noticed today, was showing him different angles and things like that. So they're very heavily keeping an eye on him, coaching him. And it does seem like, you know, he's going to be very much in the mix.
Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. Earlier today, Jen, we heard from Sam Kennedy, who kind of just didn't intimate, just flat out said that he didn't think that they were done yet, that other moves could be at hand. Is there any idea exactly, could we be, are we talking something as big as like a move for a Dylan Cease or another starting pitcher? Smaller moves, any other places you could possibly see them addressing if, in fact, another move or two is at hand for the Sox this spring?
Yeah, he did sort of kind of later come on, later clarify, you know, I don't see anything imminent or anything like that. So I think he tried to, you know, say that they're never done. Yeah, I think he said something along the lines of, you know, we're not done until the trade deadline or something along those lines. So I think he [S2] Sure. [S1] Was trying to sound, you know, like they were continuing to add it. And they might still add. Listen, one of the things that I think we do need to keep an eye on is they had two pitcher injuries this past week that also I think have gotten a little that have flown a little bit under the radar because of the Bregman stuff. Cutter Crawford is dealing with his knee injury that apparently he's had since the beginning of last year when he hurt his right knee running to cover first base and did that in the third start of the year. So he pitched the entire year on kind of a bum knee and, you know, saw his velocity dip late in the year. Couldn't really get the strength back, you know, as the offseason progressed. The same thing with Brian Deo. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's always a possibility of that.
Jen, on the topic of the pitching, there's been a lot of conversation about the idea of a six-man rotation going into the year, just with the amount of pitching depth that the Red Sox have, assuming that everybody's healthy come opening day. Are you a fan of that idea? And if not, is there one of the starting pitchers who you could see transitioning over to the bullpen if the Red Sox don't choose to go in that direction?
I do think it's probably a smart idea to do at various points. The team has a lot of off days too, so it's going to be interesting to see how they manage this. But just given kind of how I was mentioning, Crawford dealing with this injury, Bayo dealing with some shoulder soreness, and then you have guys that are coming off of injuries or past injuries. Crochet's obviously last year was his first full year in rotation, but he was previously coming off of Tommy John surgery, and he had an innings limit. Obviously, Walker Buehler didn't pitch a full year last year because he was coming off injury. And then you're looking at guys, and same thing, obviously, with Lucas Giolito, who had the internal brace procedure and hasn't pitched in a whole year since 2023. So I think part of the reason they were thinking of the six-man rotation is, yes, they have six capable guys. You know, this is before, you know, the Crawford stuff. But I think it was also a way to kind of give everyone an extra day's rest because they do have so many guys that have a history of injuries. So I'm curious to see how this is all going to work out. You know, if Crawford isn't ready to go, they still have five guys. But then they also have a good amount of pitching depth that's in AAA that has had big league experience. You know, Cooper Criswell is a guy that might end up in AAA because, you know, they have too many starters in the majors and, you know, pitched several starts for them last year in key spots. You know, but even prospects like Richard Fitz and Quinn Priester, who they got at the deadline last year, isn't a prospect quite anymore, but has big league pitching experience. You know, so I think they have a number of guys that can kind of come up and fill in and spot start, but how they kind of map this out and work this six-man rotation, if that's what they end up doing. They don't want to give guys too much rest because on the flip side, you need guys to kind of have a consistent routine so they don't fall out of routine. So I think there's definitely a balance to all this, and how they map that all out will definitely be something that we're watching throughout the spring.
Just a few days ago, Bregmania was running wild through Red Sox Nation. We were all making October plans and thinking about firing up duck boats and how we would look sitting in that fancy chair by the fireplace with a cigar. Now there's controversy and never a dull moment once again in Red Sox Nation. For the latest and best stuff, you can always give her a follow on the X and as well as on Blue Sky at JC McCaffrey, McCaffrey. Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic, thank you so much for some time and perspective. Great stuff. We'll look forward to catching you soon. Enjoy the sunshine and keep up the great work.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen. That was terrific. Some good stuff we can sink our teeth into on the flip side of the advertisements, gentlemen. This is the WEEI Afternoon Show with Dan Ball, John Lyons and Nick Fitzy-Stevens will break down Jen McCaffrey's insight from Fort Myers on the Raffy Devers situation and so much.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
More, don't you guys go anywhere.